You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, June 26th, as I call into the studio from the road. More on that in the second hour, but I am indeed on a family vacation, our annual summer vacation, calling in from a landline at our hotel. I just couldn't bear the thought of not being with y'all, even for a single week. And so with that, the show will begin, and it will begin with a bang. An intelligent and enlightening discussion is what we have every time Mark Weber appears on this program, and tonight will be no different when the director of the Institute for Historical Review returns and, in fact, joins us right now for a thought-provoking analysis of Juneteenth and the recent Putin-Biden summit. Let's start with Juneteenth. First of all, Mark, how are you? I don't think we've talked to you since, I believe it was January.
It's been a while, James. Yeah, thanks you for very much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure. I'm happy to join you.
Well, let's get down to work, my friend. So we were exchanging emails throughout the week and considering topics for discussion, and Juneteenth was one that we mutually agreed on. Of course, it was last Saturday night was actually the first, I guess we must have called it now, official Juneteenth as this new federal holiday. We mentioned it in passing a couple of times, but we really didn't dig into the overall significance and ramifications of this, but that's what we're going to do right now. So, Mark, where should we begin?
I think we should begin by just highlighting two main things. First of all, how fraudulent and artificial this holiday is. That's one thing to emphasize. The other thing to emphasize is the cravenness and the weakness of our political leaders in endorsing a holiday this absurd, a holiday that the majority of Americans don't know anything about or even understand. But more than that, a holiday that doesn't even deserve to be a holiday. Those are the two main points, I think, that need to be stressed about this. And it just highlights once again just how craven and utterly lacking in principle our political leaders, both parties, are now in this country.
Well, that's for sure, but one of the things that I found most striking about this was that according to one of the establishment polls done on this question, it was revealed that 35% of the overall American voting public claimed to be in favor of this holiday. Only 35%. That included Democrats, independents, what have you, minorities, to be sure. And then only 7% of Republican voters supported it, but there was nary a Republican that didn't vote for this. I mean, certainly there wasn't seven of them that didn't vote for it. 7% of your voting base is in opposition to this. This once again proves that if people were allowed to make decisions, if the elected officials operated based upon the consent of the governed, it would be quite different. But this is one of those issues where the people always get steamrolled.
Right. Well, you're emphasizing the special cravenness and corruption, I guess, of the Republican leadership in the House. That's understandable. I mean, yeah, 35% might say they're in favor of it. They've heard something, so they're in favor of it. But what's more astonishing is that more people than that 35% either are against it or don't know anything about it. That's the incredible thing. I want to just first emphasize just how fraudulent it is. It's commemorating not an actual event. It's not. It's commemorating supposedly the time when black people in Galveston, Texas, heard about the Emancipation Proclamation. It's not commemorating the Emancipation Proclamation. It's not talking about the end of slavery in the United States. Slavery persisted after Juneteenth. It persisted in border states of Kentucky and Delaware. It also persisted among American Indian tribes who owned slaves as well until the 13th Amendment, the Constitution, was passed. So all it is commemorating the time when some people somewhere heard about something. That alone is absurd on its face. But because it's been promoted by the media, and our politicians, like so many other Americans, are like weather vanes that just spin in the wind according to what the media tells them they're supposed to do, they did this. Now, yeah, it's especially maybe worse for Republicans, but it ought to be a shameful thing for people of any party. This is just it's a fashionable holiday that has no real significance even in and of itself. It's just kind of a symbol. It's a fashionable artificial holiday. Something like Kwanzaa was foisted on the American people as a sort of black version of Christmas. It's another invented holiday that has no real roots in history or reality. But that's the bigger point. And your point is, of course, an entirely valid one. I'm not so interested in the Republican Party. I guess it's even more egregious that Republican lawmakers would vote for it. But that anybody would vote for it is just astonishing.
Well, Pat Buchanan, of course, Mark, as you know, wrote an article about this, and he what was striking to me about your commentary, you compared quite rightly Kwanzaa to sort of a black Christmas, a holiday for minorities that competes with Christmas, and that's exactly what Pat Buchanan was calling the now newly christened holiday of Juneteenth, as it is a sort of a black Independence Day that will compete with the 4th of July, which takes place just a few days later.
Right.
And so it's just another way to further divide and cause angst among the different racial groups of this country.
Right. Well, that trend has been in place for a long time. And this is a larger point about that this holiday, like Kwanzaa, like other events that have been memorialized or popularized in the American media and by American politicians, it's part of a new definition of America. And it's really part of a much larger effort that's been going on for some time to dismantle white America. That's what it means. But ultimately, and this is a point not only Pat Buchanan, but many others have been making, the dismantling of white America means essentially the dismantling of America. Because one point that the Black Lives Matter movement and many others have been making that's valid is that America was founded as a white country. That's a that's a fact. It wasn't founded as a universal country for everyone. And conservatives, for the most part, are really at a loss to try to square the circle here because they want to pretend that America's history is different than it really is. They want to pretend that modern-day Republicans are inheritors of a universal America. Well, they're not. That's not what America, the founders of America believed, or the vast majority of Americans believed until about 80 years ago.
Well, folks, I think you get the gist of where we're going to go with this hour. Yes, we're going to be using Juneteenth as a catalyst for a broader discussion about its ramifications and its significance. But I think the point ought to be repeated because Mark made it quite succinctly, and it's important to know that this isn't some sort of a holiday that celebrates a watershed moment in American history. Even if you wanted to make the day the Emancipation Proclamation was signed or delivered into a holiday, this isn't even that. This is just a local group of former slaves who supposedly in Galveston found out about this on June 19th in the 19th century. So it's comical if it weren't actually serious. We got to take our first break. IHR.org, folks, bookmark the website. We'll tell you more about it when we come back. Our featured guest of the evening is the incomparable Mark Weber, its director. We'll tell you a little bit more about Mark when we come back.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com. Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
And we're back, everybody. We are now connected on our remote broadcasting equipment. As I mentioned at the very top of the show, I am on the road tonight and did bring this equipment. We were troubleshooting it just before we went live and couldn't quite get it to work, so I was on the hotel landline, and now we're back. Very rare that I'm not in studio on a Saturday night at home, but we're doing the best we can from the road and doing it with one of my very favorite guests, Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. He is, of course, as you know, one of our most frequent guests. He is an accomplished historian, a lecturer, current affairs analyst, and author, educated both in the United States and Europe. He holds a master's degree in modern European history. I don't say this because Mark Weber is a friend, although he is I say this because he has earned it. Mark Weber should be one of the regular talking contributors to any or all of the mainstream television news networks, and he would be that if merit warranted the invitations, if we lived in a country with the free media that valued the diversity of opinion and thought. Of course, we don't. But he would be that if not hosting his own nightly television broadcast. He's that good. He has a great take on any issue you throw his way. We're always delighted to host him. And again, that is why he is featured so regularly on this program. And Mark, thank you again for that. So we're talking about Juneteenth, IHR.org. There you'll find two or three articles at the very top of the website that'll give you some supplemental reading to this question. But I think, again, Mark, parallels can be made between this holiday and even Martin Luther King Day, which at least was controversial at the time of its passing, although it did, I guess, memorialize an event, the shooting of Martin Luther King, that had happened just not too long prior. This is something that they totally pulled out of the hat over 150 years after the fact. I mean, it just made it out of pure magic. Again, the significance of that.
Well, yes. First of all, I'm still getting over the blushing from your very kind and generous words about me. But thank you. You're right. And also, the parallels with the Martin Luther King Day are parallels in another way, in that the president who signed Martin Luther King Day as a national holiday was none other than a politician who had promised not to do that, namely Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan campaigned that he would not make Martin Luther King Day a national holiday. He didn't think it was fit for that. But it was promoted in the media. Everybody said, well, you got to do this. And as president, then he signed it into law. And of course, now it's accepted. And the amazing thing, the cravenness, the lack of principle of people calling themselves conservative, is that today the very same group, that is conservative Republicans, who opposed Martin Luther King Day, now claim Martin Luther King for their own. They claim, oh, he's really a Republican. He's really one of us. This is this again underscores a really basic problem in America, the lack of any kind of historical perspective on things. People can just, whatever opinion you hold, people just hold them with no reference to any kind of historical context, or which means ultimately no kind of principle. But, yeah, Martin Luther King Day, there's so many reasons we could go into that. But as you point out, Juneteenth is even more an ephemeral, artificial, fashionable, media-generated holiday, and the slide of American lawmakers to just cast aside all principle and to go with the wind is even more pronounced today than it was when Ronald Reagan broke his word and made Martin Luther King Day a national holiday.
You know, in some ways, it's, you would think going back to the 80s, it would be safer to be an outspoken conservative. And again, of course, quite famously, even John McCain had apparently some qualms at first about the holiday that even he, of course, especially he, came to lament and use as a piece of virtue signaling. How dare he ever even consider that that shouldn't have been a holiday, which, of course, it shouldn't have been. But in some ways, I think, ironically, it's even safer. I think this is a winning issue. This is a winning issue. If somebody would have stood up and been the voice of opposition to such a ridiculous piece of legislation, I think they would have vaulted to the top of the Republican primary polls for 2024. Assuming Trump doesn't run. There have been poll after poll and anecdotal evidence after piece of anecdotal evidence of a sort of rising and generating angst amongst the white community here in this country. I think this is something that a Republican could have grabbed hold of had there been one courageous enough to do that, rather than join the ranks of his peers and just be another virtue signaling loser. This could have been something that I think would have helped somebody. Sure, we know what they would have been called, but of course they're being called that anyway. They would have been called a racist. They would have been called this, that, and the other for opposing the ridiculous Juneteenth. But it would have made them a hero amongst their base. I wonder why not it even one, Mark, would have done that. And because there have been some evidence of some maybe flirting with being a little more aggressive in such a realm, but not even one of them had the courage to do that.
Right.
On a very easy issue.
You get to a very basic point, and that is, why the lack of any kind of principle among our political leaders? One of the problems is that any politician who does start taking a stand for principle and calls things by their real name, that is, he's truthful, he will be not just called names, he'll be so viciously attacked that people will be afraid, people with money, people with stature, people with some sort of standing, will be afraid even to support him. That's the pattern that happens in America. Yes, he might get some support for a while, but then after the piles of manure and smears pile on, even many of their of the most ardent supporters lose faith. And in any case, that's how it works in America. And one of the features of modern American democracy or modern American political system is that any politician who votes for anything, even if it turns out to be a disaster, is never held accountable. No one is held responsible for his actions, no matter how catastrophic the consequences. It's always somebody else's fault. That's a major feature of this. And so we continue to elect people even by his own base of support. Joe Biden supported the Iraq War. If anything is going to be considered shameful and bad, it's making wars on the basis of lies that take the lives of not only thousands of Americans, hundreds of thousands of others, bring tremendous destruction. But that didn't hurt Joe Biden. He was elected president, and you'd think that the opposition to him on that basis would have been even stronger within his own party. But it's not. the politicians have learned in America, there's no price or virtually no price to be paid for going along with what's fashionable at the moment. Because even if it later people don't like it, they all switch around. And anyway, that's why what you're saying might be have some validity, but it has a more optimistic view of the memory of voters than I think experience will show.
Yes. Well, perhaps. Good point, and point well taken. And a moment ago when I said no Republicans voted for it, I was engaging in a little bit of hyperbole.
Yeah.
It wasn't literally zero. It was practically zero. There were 14 members of the House who voted against this, but they sort of quietly did it. None of them really seized hold of it and used it as a lightning rod, as it most certainly could have been.
Right.
But I wonder, Mark, if there's something more nefarious at play here. We're coming up on a break, and I hesitate to even bring this up. Perhaps I'll have time to mention it, and you can ponder upon it before we come back in the next segment. But is the diversity minority cabal, the people who are catering to that disaffected, chronic, malcontented element of our population, were they offering this up as some sort of a fig leaf for an olive branch, or were they doing it to further instill a sense of guilt and shame amongst whites? I'll repose that question to you when we come back. We'll continue there. Much more indeed, to cover with Mark Weber, IHR.org, right after these words.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The family of George Floyd wants Congress to pass a package of police reform bills. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has already begun working on it. In Minneapolis, former officer Derek Chauvin was sentenced on Friday after being convicted of murdering George Floyd earlier this year.
22 and a half years is not enough. We were served a life sentence. We can't get George back. Gianna can't hug George again.
George Floyd's nephew, Brandon Williams. In South Florida, a fire burning underneath a collapsed condominium complex is hampering the search for survivors.
It's extremely difficult to locate the source of the fire, and so they've been working around the clock.
Surfside, Florida Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. 159 people have been reported missing. 4 people have been found dead. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energized Health are regular guests on my show, sharing their breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. I love John and Chelsea. The results? People lose fat fast while eating many of the foods they love. You can too. Plus, supercharge your energy, boost your immune system, look and feel years younger. It's simple and natural without painful exercises. How do I know? Because I just completed my first 88 days on the program, and I've lost 25 pounds of fat. I'm getting hydrated at the cellular level, but don't just take my word for it. Go to energizedhealth.com and check out hundreds of amazing testimonials. For all the details, click on the red button at energizedhealth.com. Watch the masterclass. It's free. Or cut to the chase. Join right now at 888-444-8895. Join me, 888-444-8895. Mention WAR and get 40% off. 40%! Go now to energizedhealth.com, 888-444-8895, or energizedhealth.com.
A hot air balloon crashed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, after hitting a power line, killing 4 people and leaving 1 person hospitalized in critical condition. Witnesses say the hot air balloon hit a power line at around 7 a.m. local time, after which the basket crashed to the ground and the envelope floated away. The victims range in age from 40 to 60, and the pilot is among the dead. The Public Service Company of New Mexico reported thousands of power outages due to the crash. At least 3 people died on Friday when a man went on a stabbing spree in Würzburg, Germany. The attacker stabbed multiple people, leaving at least 3 people dead. Bavarian Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann told reporters that 5 people were in serious condition in the hospital. Local police arrested a suspect after shooting him in the thigh. They identified him as a 24-year-old Somali man who had a violent past and a history of mental illness. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It's always an informative and thought-provoking conversation anytime Mark Weber appears with us, and he has been appearing with us since the very founding days of this program now, nearly 17 years and counting. Mark, I'll make succinct the question I posed to you before the break. How much of this, and this is just your opinion, of course, neither of us will know absolutely, but how much of this do you think has been done to present as a gift to those who might appreciate such a thing as this holiday of Juneteenth, and how much of it do you think is just being done to further instill a sense of guilt and displacency amongst whites? I read a very interesting article about how in Germany especially, that everywhere you go in Germany, there is some sort of a shrine or a monument to some sort of supposed victims group that the native population, the native Germans, had supposedly done wrong at some point in history. And you see that everywhere. And it has made even the most basic or bland sort of national pride in Germany akin to neo-Nazism, even cheering for the local soccer team. So, again, going back to Juneteenth, how much of it is spawned from some misplaced sense of goodwill versus, again, something more dark indeed?
Yes. Well, there are three, I think, angles to the question you just raised, and each one of them deserves a broadcast in itself. The first is, what's the motive of people who supported Juneteenth? I mean, what motivates them? I think for the vast majority of politicians, they just go along with whatever is going to be popular. That's generally what politicians do. Now, there is a very militant, organized minority that is pushing for the dismantling of white America, and this has been in place for a long time. For those people, Juneteenth, Black Lives Matter, all the trends that we've seen over the years are part of a much larger goal of dismantling white America, basically. They want to try to create a society, I think a utopian and a delusional society that's not going to happen, that's based on fantastic notions of human equality, universalism. It's something like the motivation of the Bolsheviks, a world in which there's no longer any nationalities, there's no longer any religion, there's no cultural heritage. All those things really don't matter. And there are people that push for this, especially, well, they push for it for people outside their own group. They push especially for white Americans or Europeans or whatever. And that's and we've seen that in place for many years. But to go back to the point is about politicians and many other Americans who go along with these things, they go along with it because, well, that's what everybody else does. They've read enough or heard enough or seen enough on television to persuade themselves, well, I guess this is okay. But on the political, another aspect of your question is, do these people who support these things even believe what they're supporting? Do they really believe these things? One example I've given of this repeatedly is the No Child Left Behind Act that was passed overwhelmingly by Congress when George W. Bush was president. He's a Republican. I don't know if he's called him a conservative, but he was a Republican. He was backed by, I guess, people who call himself conservative. And he pushed through the No Child Left Behind Act, which got overwhelming support in the Congress. The No Child Left Behind Act is based on the premise that how well children do or how well people do in life is entirely, and I mean entirely, the consequence of socialization, education, opportunity. In other words, biology or heredity has nothing to do with how people are going to be. Well, of course, the No Child Left Behind Act, as a few people pointed out at the time, is based on false premises. It's going to fail, and of course it failed. But did the people who vote for it, overwhelmingly, do they even believe that? Do they even care? I don't think so. I don't think they either care or whatever. They just go along with whatever. And the premises, that's one of the dangerous things in America, is people give lip service or they give assent to premises of equality and universalism and to the prevailing ideology, and they only object to the consequences of the policies that are based upon those premises and principles which they themselves have endorsed. That's one of the great tragedies for millions of Americans. You raised another point about this that's really important, and that is the very remarkable parallels between the process of dismantling white America that's going on in this country today and the 80 years or more than 70 years of re-education in Germany that has done everything but tried its best to destroy any kind of German national consciousness in that country. And Americans, overwhelmingly, whether they're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, supported this policy for Germany. And now they're surprised or unhappy, many of them are, when the same principles, the same re-education, the same atonement policies are put in place here in this country.
We're, of course, talking with Mark Weber about Juneteenth, and that is, as we have put it, and as he has put it, quite rightly, a media-created and absurd holiday, given that it does not commemorate an actual event of any significance. And so, again, we're emphasizing now in this segment, Mark, something we had talked about in our email exchange, how Juneteenth is part of a relentless campaign to dismantle traditional America, which of course, means white America. And in that regard, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Putin-Biden summit. I know that's a radical departure from what we're talking about currently, but there is a segue we can make, and that is wrapped up in the recent remarks of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, who pointed out that Americans are being subjected to a vast campaign of, quote, aggression against white people. Pretty powerful statement from a major head of state, where at least in his capacity as the Russian foreign minister.
Right. Yes, that is exactly the sort of transition, that you'll get more straightforward talk, more honesty, more reality about what's happening in this country from leaders in foreign countries than you will among the politicians who supposedly represent the American people here in this country. Yeah, Lavrov said there's a campaign of what he called aggression against white people, white U.S. citizens in this country. And he said also that this campaign isn't confined to the United States. It's part of a campaign by Hollywood and by America to spread this absurdity around the world. That's, of course, been true for many, many years. But Lavrov represents Russia and the Russian people and the Russian nation. He's not trying, unlike the leaders of the Soviet Union or United States today, to impose their universalist, egalitarian ideology on the entire world. That's what the Soviet Union wanted to do, and the Soviet leaders tried to do. And it's what American leaders are trying to do now. This is the point to transition, you might say, to foreign policy. One of the grave dangers, really, is that wars and American wars have at least very often been carried out, at least justified in part, by political leaders who claim they're spreading democracy to new countries. They're trying to make the rest of the world conform to America's ruling ideology. And this is an extraordinarily dangerous thing and completely contrary to the foreign policy principles that the American people and American leaders held strongly to up until the First World War, the Second World War, until the 20th century. This was laid out by George Washington. We wish well of all countries, but we're not the crusaders for the welfare of any country except our own. We're not in this world to try to make other people like us, but that's now the prevailing view of especially the Biden administration. The Biden administration has made this very clear. They want to spread democracy. They believe the world is engaged in this huge conflict between American-style democracy or Western-style liberal democracy, whatever you want to call it on the one hand, and what they call authoritarianism, that is everything else, on the other hand. But by the standards of America for much of its history, we'd be going to war against the United States. If a country like the United States had existed 50 or 60 years ago in today's world. But anyway, this is the just how unhinged from reality not only domestic policy but also foreign policy is in the United States, and with very dangerous consequences for America and humanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are enjoying half as much as I am this conversation with Mark Weber, remember, with regard to the topic of Juneteenth, there are some written resources at the top of Mark's website, the website for his organization, the Institute for Historical Review, IHR.org. You can read a handful of articles there about Juneteenth that will further supplement what you're hearing on the radio tonight. And again, before we transition fully and completely over to the Putin-Biden summit, which again, I thought that those comments by the Russian foreign minister provided for a nice segue. I couldn't help but notice, Mark, the way Juneteenth was celebrated. The first annual Juneteenth national holiday was celebrated with just more mayhem and murders, apparently.
Another comment. Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
I hear the music coming up. I was referring particularly to two Puerto Ricans, a man and his wife who had a young child. It was just a tragic, savage murder. Well, that, unfortunately, you can't have people with different cultures and different races and religions and all of that living in the same space without conflict, and that's a sad shame. We'll be right back.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And welcome back to one fleeting segment. Only one fleeting segment remains with Mark Weber tonight. An hour goes by far too quickly with him. It always does. But we look forward to the next already this Saturday evening, June 26th. We are live. Don't forget to go to IHR.org. There you will undoubtedly enjoy the content, but I would ask you one special favor, and that is to support the work of Mark Weber and IHR. You can count on your fingers and toes the list of individuals or organizations still in operation that have stood the test of time, and we'll say the test of time is a decade or longer, and throughout that time operated at a professional level. Well, you listen to two of them tonight. There's not that many. We want 1,000 roses to bloom. We want, and there are. I mean, there are a lot of people, a lot more people doing this now than there were 10 years ago, I can tell you that. But it is difficult to stick around. The people who have stuck around and continue to generate quality content, again, at a professional level, Mark Weber, I would put at the tip of that spear, IHR.org. And, Mark, let's get right into your wheelhouse. I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation of Juneteenth. I think it's an important conversation to be had. Indeed, we have had it. But let's talk a little bit about Putin-Biden. I mean, obviously, we like the comment coming from the Russian foreign minister. That is a dose of truth you wouldn't find from anyone here in America at any level, perhaps even down to local city council. But you've got it there. I am going to talk a little bit more at length about an interview that I watched. I watched the raw interview in its entirety. Now, of course, you know, they cherry pick and they cut and they excise and they do all of this for what they put on actual television. But there was an hour and a half long raw interview that Russian President Vladimir Putin sat down for with an NBC reporter. It was this first interview with an American media outlet in 2 or 3 years. And I watched the entire thing. I'm going to tell you some of the things, some of my takeaways from that. Very interesting in the next hour. But first, let's talk about the Putin-Biden summit that took place and not these ancillary interviews that surrounded it. What were your takeaways from that, Mark Weber?
Right. Well, much of the attention that much of the world had in America and in Russia and other countries for this Biden-Putin meeting was heightened because of the famous, or I guess infamous, remarks by Joe Biden during the, I guess, the last meeting they had. During the last meeting they had, Joe Biden said that he looked in the eyes of Vladimir Putin, and he said, "You have no soul," he said. Well, having done that, the bar for a fruitful or a productive meeting between Biden and Putin was pretty low. If he can just avoid doing something that stupid, that's alone enough. And so the meeting they had just the other week came off without any major mishaps. I think it's indicative of the fact. The interesting thing is that afterwards, Putin and Biden did not hold a joint news conference. And part of the reason for that, I think, is indicated by what you suggested about this interview that Putin did with NBC. But you'll find this in almost any interview with Putin. There's numerous interviews, of course, on available on the Internet, speaking to journalists from his own country, from other countries, some with English subtitles and so forth. He's an extraordinarily intelligent and articulate man. He has a worldview. He has some sort of coherent outlook on life. He's well-educated. He speaks more than his own language. And he's able to express himself without stumbling and lapsing into platitudes in the way that American politicians, including Joe Biden, do. So the Putin-Biden meeting, not much really came out of it. It got attention mainly because people were hoping it just wouldn't be a failure. Well, nothing really much came out of it. But you're really raising a larger point, and that is, the contrast between the Russian President Putin, and I would say the leaders of many other countries around the world, not just Russia, and the leaders of America, not only with Biden, but also with Trump and other, I mean, George Bush and other American presidents in recent years. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing that we are led by leaders who are as inarticulate, as unknowledgeable, as you might say, self-centered, as both as American presidents have been in recent years. Not only the interview with NBC, but again, all sorts of other interviews and things by Putin shows a man of great insight and intelligence. And of course, people are going to disagree with him. But if America could live with Stalinist Russia, and it could live with the Soviet Union during its time, it should be able, and we hope, I mean, it should be able to live with the Russia of Vladimir Putin. And a big obstacle of that is the kind of arrogance that assumes we're right and you're wrong. And this arrogance, this idea, we've got all the answers and you guys just don't get it, is one that American politicians put out not only in world affairs and foreign policy, but of course here at home. This idea that we're not only more knowledgeable and smarter than our grandparents and great-grandparents, we're morally superior to them. They were not only ignorant, they were bad people. And that attitude about our own ancestors also applies in foreign policy to other countries. And it's a simplistic and stupid way of looking at other countries. And that's why I hope that this isn't pushed too far, because the logic of that it means inevitably conflict with Russia and other countries around the world who don't embrace America's idea about how society should be organized.
That's fantastic commentary and insight, Mark. And that's I came to some of the same takeaways, of course. I think ultimately it would have just shown a sign of weakness for either Biden or Putin not to have consented to this meeting. If one of them did and the other didn't, it would have looked bad, diplomatically speaking. And of course, this whole thing was just an add-on to the G7 meeting,
right,
where I saw the picture. The picture was priceless of these G7 heads of states standing on something that looked like a chessboard. It was like the chess players, the chess pieces of the globalist elite. And then you had this nationalistic Putin who either didn't want to be involved or was frozen out. We won't quibble. But that calls for the occasion of them being in the same proximity or close enough proximity to have this meeting. But yes, of course, nothing a value was going to be ironed out and no tremendous breakthroughs were going to be made. And that whole thing about Joe Biden saying how rich is that? A guy like Joe Biden, a puppet of the regime, a career politician, could look into the eyes of a strong man like Putin and see no soul. That is a projection, perhaps, if I've ever heard it. But nevertheless, there's questions as to whether or not he ever even said that. I know he claims he said that. I wonder if he really would have had the strength to say that.
No, it doesn't matter even if he said, just the astonishing thing, even if he thought such a thing, to say something like that is just stupid, really, more than anything else, childish and stupid, even if he thinks it. Whether about any person, if you're at a dinner party or a party with other people and you think somebody, a woman looks fat or ugly, you might think that. But to say that is just stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, who talks like that? You know, the bigger point, I think, is Joe Biden, before he became president and since he's been president, is talking about how America's back to lead the world. He claims that the United States is going to be the leader in the world, and he's trying to get all the other countries to join the United States in this so-called counter to China and Russia and other countries. But this is absurd. This is the same person who claims America is plagued by this entrenched injustice of systemic racism, that it's such a flawed country, and just objectively, a country that can't even get its own act together as a country with unbelievably high rate of crime, of corruption, and so forth. And this is a country that still has the pretense, or leaders have the pretense, to claim we're going to be the leader in the world. Well, doctor, heal thyself. Get your own act in order before you start handing out lots of lectures and advice and admonitions to other countries about how they ought to be.
I was just going to say very quickly, and the exact opposite is being demonstrated by Putin in the way he speaks, in the way he presents himself, even in the way he looks. Listen, I don't know. I mean, maybe Putin would put us in jail for thought crimes. Who knows? But I'm just saying, I watched that interview, and I've watched other interviews with Putin. He casts a presence. He looks like a leader. He acts like a leader. I'm not trying to step on sour grapes because I voted for the other guy. Hard to say that about a guy like Biden, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
And we got a minute remaining, Mark. The final word is yours.
Well, we covered a lot of territory. What's the final word? I guess the basic point I think to be made is that when a country has a prevailing ideology, which is now so entrenched in America that it leads to Juneteenth and a whole lot of other things, that ideology is going to have harmful consequences, not only internally but externally as well. I put a great deal of emphasis on making sure that principles are correct and right, because it's on basis of principles that we make policies. And millions of Americans are unhappy with the direction, but they still give at least lip service to the principles of this prevailing ideology of a kind of radical egalitarian universalist ideology that cannot help but have consequences that are harmful because it's based upon false premises about life and about history.
Mark Weber, thank you so much, my friend, for being back with us for another fantastic hour of talk radio. I joined this cause when I was 19 years old. I turned 41 last week. But I do know this, I have not lost all hope. What has been done can be undone, and if and when that day arrives, when things are made to be better, it will be because of people like Mark Weber. IHR.org. We'll talk